good to be here this morning again. I know we've gotten a little rain this morning, and much needed rain. And we're always grateful and thankful to God to bless this world the way He does. To look around us and see the things that He does, the things that He's done from the beginning of time. Things we cannot comprehend. No matter how hard we try to understand it, we'll never understand the power and the majestic nature of who God is. We'll learn and we'll continue learning our entire life and growing in a relationship with Him, but we'll never fully understand it. We just need to learn to trust who He is. Ezra, we've been studying out of the book of Ezra, and we're going to continue this week and one more week next week, and we'll conclude this. And someone asked me, he said, you know, there's a New Testament also. So, yes, I know. And we'll do some more out of some other books. But I enjoy looking at some of the Old Testament books because we learn a lot of things that we haven't looked at in many years. Maybe sometimes we haven't looked at them at all. I don't know the last time you studied out of Ezra, but it had been a while for me, so that's why I chose it to share some things with you. Now we've gone through a number of chapters about Ezra. We know that the remnant of Israel that's in captivity is being led back. Cyrus said, go ahead and take them, the people, the remnant back. Just like God promised was going to happen 70 plus years earlier. They're going to go back and rebuild the temple. And we've gone through all of those and the temple has been rebuilt and we get to Ezra. And Ezra is being sent back. He is one of the spiritual leaders. He's going to go back and get things really in order and the things that are going to, that need to happen in the temple, the worship, the all of the things, the religious center of their life needs to be taught to these people. And so he's going to go back and help with those things. In chapter 8, Ezra is getting the people ready. Some 5,000 or a little over 5,000 people are going to go back with him, back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, back to begin, or maybe not necessarily begin the worship of God, but to practice it the way God has said and deemed was supposed to happen. He's going to go back and help encourage people to do the things that they need to do, to put in place leaders that need to be put in place. And so this morning in Ezra chapter 8, I believe we look at a good steward. Here is Ezra, who's been given a stewardship. And you know what stewardship means. When someone places something in your care for you to take care of, it doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. It's a stewardship. It is something that someone has entrusted to you to be faithful with. There are directions that go along with that stewardship. Someone doesn't just give you something and say, you can have it. That's a gift. Okay? You can do anything that you want with a gift, right? Now, if I gave Ed a jersey for the ball game today that had OU on it, and I said, this is a gift, he can do anything he wants with that. Chances are he's not going to put it on. Chances are he ain't even going to get anywhere near it. He probably won't even take it from me. But that's a gift. He can do whatever he wants. But if Ed says, probably more like Melissa, Melissa says, I'm going to leave my boys with you for a couple days while I'm going out of town. Now, she didn't give them to me, did she? No, she ain't giving them boys away. But what she did was she placed a stewardship in my life. Now, there's some things she doesn't have to tell me, but there's other things, even though I've raised children and I continue, and Holly and I are raising our children right now, we know a lot of things. There's still some things that Melissa's going to tell us, like she did not very long ago. Huh? Here's a list of things just in case. Don't think this is going to happen, but if it does, I want you to know how to handle those situations. That's a stewardship. This is mine, and I'm placing it. I'm entrusting you because I trust you're going to do what's right. And God is placing something in Ezra's life, and He's saying, Ezra, I'm entrusting you with something, and I want you to be faithful. So Ezra is looking at this stewardship, and he's going, now, how can I be
faithful? And isn't that the kind of same question that we have to ask ourselves as Christians? How am I going to be faithful to the stewardship God has given me? Sometimes maybe we need to ask the question, well, what is God's stewardship? What has He given me? You know, a lot of times we may not even know what God is asking for us to do. And the stewardships change as we grow in our relationship with God, don't they? They're not always the same. And so we need to understand what those things are. And so Ezra gives us a good example, what it would take to be a good steward with God. So let's look in chapter 8 together. Skip all the way down, because in the first number of verses, he's talking about all those people that are going with him, and how many from this family and how many from that family. And you can read that if you want to know their names. But those people were going along with him. 5,000 plus people. But in verse 15, he says, "Now I assembled them at the river." Now, stop right there. Here's the first thing that a good steward does, is stops and takes time to reflect. This is what Ezra does. As they begin their journey, he gets everybody together, they stop and he says, "All right, we're going to stay here for a few days and we're going to reflect on some things. Where are we going? Why are we going? Who really needs to be there? What are we going to do when we get there?" And so he starts questioning a lot of things. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that God wants these people to do? How did we get here to begin with? And so I think that's one of those questions. How did we get here? And in Ezra, you know, Ezra's recorded several things. In chapter 1 and verse 2, Cyrus says, "The Lord, God of heaven." A little bit later, Darius will say in chapter 6 and verse 9, "The God of heaven." A little bit later in chapter 7 and verse 12, Artaxerxes says, "The God of heaven." And then later in chapter 7, Ezra will even say in verses 27 and 28, "The Lord, the God of our fathers," in verse 27. And then he says, "The Lord, my God," in verse 28. First thing he recognizes is we got here because God led us here. We are here because God brought us to this place, this day, and this time. We need to recognize that. God led them here. How else did we get here? Well, not only did God lead, but there was some godly, focused leaders helping them do what God wants them to do. Because there's a lot of good people that were out there and around in captivity still yet that are not getting together to head back, are they? They needed someone to organize it. They needed someone to bring them together. They needed someone to give them some direction in their life. There's nothing arrogant. Listen to me. There is nothing arrogant about accepting God's role in our life as being in a leadership role. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing arrogant, because it's not us. It wasn't Ezra. It wasn't his idea to do all of these things. It was God who led them there, and he acknowledged that, just like all those kings did. Ezra is just accepting those things. And you think about it, where he looked at it, but in chapter 7, verse 25, even King Artaxerxes recognizes Ezra's leadership being given to him by God. He says, "You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your land." Artaxerxes says, God gave you, God authoritated you. Now go do what God says to do. So Ezra accepts it. He says, how did we get here? He's still reflecting. How are we? Where did we? Where did all this happen to get us here today? God led us. Leaders, kings, all these people that God is providentially leading has brought us to this place. Now, he says it's given him time. He says the second part of verse 15, he says, "When I observed the people and the priest, and I did not find any Levites there." First off, look what he says. He gave himself an opportunity to do what? To observe. Have you ever observed someone? Have you ever observed things that's going on? If you are kind of a manager of a business or something like that, or a teacher, or just about any profession in this world, you take out time to do what? To observe. A lot of times you observe those people you're working with, working for, or that are working under you to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. Teachers, do you wait until the end of the school year to observe anything that your students are doing? Hopefully not. Doesn't work, does it? If you don't stay on top of kids, they're not going to do the things that they're supposed to do. So we observe them, we watch them, we give them learning opportunities or tests. We do a lot of things to encourage them to listen. He's observing the people. He's observing the priest. Who's here? I've got this big group of people. Now, who are they? So Ezra's watching them, and he's in conversation with them. He's talking to them. He's listening to what they're about and what they're doing so that he understands and he knows. And he evaluates those that are going with him. Who's going to be thoughtful? What leaders do I have among us? And this group, how many thoughtful leaders do we have? How many tireless workers do we have with us? How many great teachers are there in this group? So we're not just going back to build fancy homes and businesses. There's a reason we're going back. And we can't forget that. So he's evaluating those things. Because Ezra is going to go back, if you remember that same verse back we just looked at in chapter 7, verse 25. He's going back to appoint leaders in Jerusalem. He says he's going back for magistrates, judges, teachers of God's law. He's supposed to put all of these in. And the verse we just looked at again, he says there is no Levites. As he's looking, as he's evaluating, he sees there's not any Levites there. Or at least that's what it says. Now, were there Levites? Yeah, there were Levites. So that's not really what he's saying, because he said there are some priests among them. And we know that priests can only come from what? The tribe of Levi. So what is he talking about? If there's no Levites, what he's saying is there's no Levites that are either trained leaders in the worship at the temple, or they're Levites, as we know, if you have to be a direct descendant of Aaron in order to be a high priest, there are certain functions that you have to be from a certain family or certain training to be able to do. And that's what he's talking about. We look out here and those people aren't ready to do the things that we need to do when we get back to Jerusalem. They're not trained. So we need to find those people, those Levites, who are ready to go back and take on the responsibilities that they need to take on as soon as we get there. We're not looking for someone to train. We're looking for someone who's already ready to step into the roles. That's what he's talking about. So he sits and he looks and he evaluates and he contemplates. And that's what good stewards will do. They're going to take time to reflect on the things that we need to be a part of. But then after you reflect and you look at and you evaluate those things, at some point you've got to take some action. And here he goes. Takes action. So he said, so I sent for some leading men, verse 16, and some of the teachers, and he lists some of their names there. And I'm going to look out for those people, and I need some of these leading men, and I need some of the teachers, I need some of those leaders to come and help me do the things that we need to do, to evaluate. I've looked and I've observed, and these are the things I think or I believe that we need. And so he visits with them, and he says, all right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go find these people that need to go with us. You go find these men that we need. He says in verse 17, so I sent them to Iddo, the leading man, in this place of Cassiphia, and I told him what to say. The temple servants, that is, to bring ministers. This is what he said. Listen, here's the message. He said, you go and you find this leading man and you tell them this. Why him? It doesn't really tell us exactly why him, other than he's one of the leading men. When you go to a community, you go somewhere, and this place, we don't know for sure exactly what it is. It's something to do with silver. Was it the silver mines? Was it... a place where they made things from silver, silversmiths and all. It was something to do with that. He said, but you go there because we know in that place there are people, there are leaders there, there are priests there. We know that. We found that out. Whether Ezra himself knew it or some of those men he had conversation with while they were reflecting, he said, we know this. So you go there and here's what I want you to do when you get there. You need to ask them. You need to encourage them. You need to let them know that we need ministers for the house of God. We need people who are willing, who are already trained, who already know what they're doing, to come in and help us teach those things. When you start to take that time of reflection, it's going to lead you to some clarity. Because true reflection will cause clarity in our life. When we ask good questions with a righteous heart, and we ask those questions from the right people, or of the right people, and the right teachers, guess what will happen? We'll come up with the right answers. But if we don't go at it, if we don't have good questions to ask, how can we get good answers? If we don't ask those questions with the right heart, how will we get good answers? And if we don't ask the right teachers, how will we get good answers? Who are we lacking? Where can we find them? How do we recruit them? Those are the things going through his mind. Good leadership. That's what Ezra needs. That's what the people need. Before they head back to Jerusalem, they need that help. They've got to have it. Because they're not ready for it. So he sent, as we just saw, for leading men and teachers. Does it make you think of Acts chapter 6? When the apostles are talking and you know there's some people that are a little bit disgruntled because things aren't happening right in the church and so they come to the elder or to the apostles and the apostles say, you know what? You need to choose 7 men from among yourself. Now he didn't say weak-minded men. He didn't say new Christians that didn't know what they were doing. He said, you know, you've got to choose 7 men that are, they're good people. They're righteous people. They're people who are modeling their life after God. You need to look at those people who are already there, who are already doing the things that we need them to do. So you pick those 7 men out. You choose those 7 men that are known to be spiritual in your life. That's kind of what Ezra's doing. Go and find those spiritual men that will help us, lead us. Tell them, don't beat around the bush. Tell them what they're going for. Tell them what we need them for and why we're wanting them to go with us. Clarity. Clarity leads to mature leadership. He finds those men. He delegates. He sends leaders, his own leaders, out to find other leaders to help them. He gives them the direction. He tells them what to do. He tells them the message to tell those people. And here's a really cool thing that I like in verse 18. Good leadership is always blessed by God. What he says, according to the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of insight. They met somebody because Ezra said, you know what, as we stop and we think about what we need, God is leading us and you know, we need these people and so you go over here and you find this person and you give them this message and they find someone and he goes out and recruits and says, I know exactly who you need. And you can look at her just like this morning. We can look at it and go, you know what? Here, I need you. It'd be real easy to pick out the people that would help if we needed something to happen. If you know those people, God blesses us. God leads us. We know where God is leading us, according to the good hand of our God. And because of this, some 258 Levites and ministers, temple servants, were found. And it says in verse 20, all of them designated by name. We know they're right. God led us to them. God is blessing us because we're trying to do what God wants us
to do. God is always going to bless good, mature leadership. Ezra is trying to do those things that God wants him to do. Ezra is wanting to lead the people, God's people, where God wants them to be. And he's doing everything that he possibly can. He is trying to be the steward that God wants him to be. So he stops and he reflects. He takes some action. He gets up and says, these are the things we need to do. And the last thing I'll share with you this morning is good stewardship. A good steward is always willing to give informed direction. Now think about it. Once we reflect and once we ask God, help me, and we talk to those around us, then some clarity starts happening in our life because of that reflection. God continues leading us, and then God gives us the answers. And when we have the answers, why would we not want to share it? That's what he's saying. Now then, Ezra's going to say, now we have to do something. Now you have to be also involved in this. All of you, if you're going back, here are the things that's going to happen. Look in verse 21 with me. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river. Now we hear this word a lot. I don't know if any of you have ever practiced a fast in your life. But a lot of times we think of a fast as, well, we're just not going to eat. Well, there's a reason why you fast. There's a reason why you don't eat. There's a reason why you don't take all that time of going out and heating up the ovens and getting all the ingredients ready to make this meal. And all of that time, there's a reason we don't do that. And it's not just to give up the food. He says you take that time. Fasting is about taking that time where I would spend it here, getting rid of that, and I put something in its place. So if we're not going to prepare all of that, we're going to fast, what are we going to do with that time? That's what Ezra is trying to get these people. We're going to proclaim a fast. Now look what he says. So that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him a safe journey for us, for our little ones, and all our possessions. We're going to bow before God, if you will. Rather than eating that food that we have and recognize that God, you are the one who blessed us with all of this food. I know that you're the one who created the world to bring forth all of this food for us. I know that you're the one who's put all the nutrients that bless us in that food. I know you've done that. So you know what? I can set that aside and I can tell you, God, I know you're going to take care of us because you've already done it right there. I see it, all the food. We have it. And you've blessed us with that. Now, God, I want to ask you that you guide us this 4-month journey that you'll keep us safe. Because you know the history, what's happened. All these people in that region where they're going have done everything they can to stop them, to threaten them, to do everything against them. And he's saying, we need your protection, God. We need you to be with us. So what we're going to do is we're going to give up all that food. Lay that aside because it ain't going anywhere. Your life has got... Have you ever missed out on that food? Now, I'm not saying you ran late working one day and you had to miss lunch or something. But I mean, have you ever gone without? Now some people are. In some parts of the world, some people are starving. But God has never, my life, I've never missed anything. God has taken care of me. And I see that. I see Him working. And that's what the people are saying. God's blessed us. God's doing this stuff. Now, where do we go? He says, he skipped down to verse 28. And the Lord said to them, now he's talking, Ezra's talking to these men that are there, 12 priests and 10 of their brethren, and he says to them, he's going to give them some direction. Here's the first thing that he says after their fast, after they thought about it, and after they are praying to God for this protection. He says, now you 12, are holy to the Lord. And the utensils, the gold and the silver and all these things that he's placing in their care are holy to the Lord. And he says, you 22 men are going to be, all this is going to be counted out to you. Here's a very specific stewardship that you are getting ready to get. And you need to take care of that.
You need to make sure that it is protected for all of these months that we're going to be traveling and all the places that we're going to go and all the people's lands that we're going to go through. You need to make sure that those things are safe. You need to take care of those things. This is your stewardship. And so Ezra is passing on. He's giving these things to them. And as soon as they get, verse 33... This is on the fourth day, the silver and the gold and the utensils were weighed out in the house of our God. And they bring faithfully to the temple all of these things that were entrusted to them. All those months have passed, they get there and they hand it over. Just like Ezra said, God wants you to do, take care of this. And they were faithful to that. And then verse 35. He says, the exiles who had come from captivity offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all of Israel. 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats for sin offering. All as a burnt offering to the Lord. Everything is being offered to God. We're here. We've arrived safely. Now,
he even said earlier, we're going to take a fast. We're going to pray for God's deliverance. Because why? Because we shouldn't have to depend on a king. Talking about our Xerxes, we should depend on our king. How can we ever depend on God if all we're ever talking about is what we can do or what the flesh can do for us or what our leadership around us can do? Too many times we worry about what the world says we can do or can't do. Too many times we're worried about, well, they may take those things away from us, those privileges of worshiping God, and we need to do, we need to be worried about all that. Someday some of those may be taken away. I don't know. But I do know one thing. The only person that can stop it, it's not me, is God.
How many times we say, God, thank you for giving us the privileges that we do of being in this church. Thank you for the privileges. Just like Ezra is leading them and saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do. There's no question about this. We are here this morning. Make no doubt about this. You are here for one reason this morning. You know what that is?
Worship God.
That's the only reason we're here. Now, if you came this morning just to see a friend, pat him on the back, now that's a great blessing. There's a lot of good people here. A lot of people I love to get hugs from and visit with and all those things, and that is wonderful. But that's a side note. That's one of those extras.
So what we're here for is because of our relationship with God. He protects us. He loves us. He's given everything that we have.
And that brings us down to verse 36. And I love the way Ezra ends this and what he talks about. Look at this. Then they delivered the king's edicts to the kings, to all those people, basically everyone around there. They deliver Artaxerxes' commands to all of them.
What were those commands? What did Artaxerxes say?
He said, you go in that land and you tell them, leave you alone.
Don't distract you. Don't be coming in here and telling me that we can't worship, that we can't offer sacrifices, that we can't sing praises to God. Don't come in here and tell us that. Don't tell us that we need to leave the temple alone or we need to let it be just fall in and collapse and get all ugly and nasty. Don't tell us any of that. Don't tell us that we have to take the gold and the silver and all of those things that are given to the Lord that are in there and give them to you as taxes. No, don't have to.
Don't have to. We can tell them there are rights that we have. That's what he is saying. We have rights. God is in control. God is the one who gives victories. We need to learn to embrace those victories. God has blessed us in so many ways. Use those victories to unify ourselves, to glorify God, to encourage faithfulness. Everything Ezra is doing is guiding those people to know God.
Everything Ezra is about in his life is he's wanting people to know God. Ezra knows in a few short years, no one's going. Maybe no one will even remember who he was. He doesn't care. What He cares about is, will they remember their God?
He was a great steward of the things God placed before Him. We've got to understand the same thing. If we want to be faithful to God, then it is going to depend upon our willingness to allow God to rule on the throne or sit on the throne of our heart, of my heart. God, is He ruling in my life? No matter what kind of decisions else are going on in my life, does God overrule those decisions? That's up to me. People can threaten us, people can say things, but the bottom line boils down, if we're faithful with God, with what God has blessed us, we'll let Him rule in our lives. This morning, if we desire to be found faithful to God, we've got to be the same kind of steward that Ezra was. There's times in our life that we need to stop and we need to reflect on our life. What's going on in our life? What am I about? What am I doing? What's really important in my life? What's important in your life this morning? If you were to sit down right now and you were to start writing out the top 5 lists or top 10 or whatever most important things in your life, what would they be? Where does God rank on that list? Not only do we stop and reflect, but we've got to learn to start taking action. Those things that God, where He's leading us and where He's calling us to go, we need to say, all right, I'm ready. And to accept those stewardships and be faithful to them and become the leaders that God expects us to be. Now, we don't all have to look the same. We don't all have to do the same thing. But we've got to be thoughtful. We've got to be enmeshed in this spiritual life and focused Godward. That's what it takes to be a good steward. Make no mistake this morning, God is calling you to be faithful to the stewardship He's given you. I don't know what that stewardship is. Sometimes we need to stop and reflect. Sometimes maybe you need to just ask someone around you, someone that you care about and you respect, and maybe you need to ask them, what is it? What do you think is my stewardship? What has God given me? Have you ever asked someone, what do you think I'm talented at? What is it you think God is leading me to do? You ever asked anybody that? What am I about? What are you about? What is God, what stewardship has God placed at your feet? And are you being faithful? God will lead us there. I promise you. He puts way too many people in your life to encourage us. We need to be that encourager. But we need to accept, just like Ezra did, number one, God is in control, not man. Is God in control of your life? You'll never be a steward of any kind if God doesn't start. He's not the number one. Now, He sent His Son. That's why we gathered around this table this morning, because Jesus Christ was sent for us. And if we've given our life to Him, we've started that. That stewardship began. But if you haven't done that, if you haven't named Him the Lord of your life, God's never going to bless you with any kind of stewardship. He won't. Can't. But He will if you choose. So I don't know where you are, what you're struggling with. Maybe you are God's child and you're struggling with some other things in your life. Well, now's the time to stop. Now's the time to stop where you're struggling with things you're struggling with. Just give that life back to you. We can pray for you, pray with you. We'd love to do that. Not one person in here would complain about that. No one. We'd be excited. Even as I told the kids this morning, we're leaving at 12:15. We'll stay 5 extra minutes if we need to. If you want us to, we'll do that. Or 30 minutes, or whatever we have to do. Or I'll get someone else to drive the bus if we need to do that. Our relationship with God is too important. Put it off. Anything else. Do you want to start that relationship today? You can. Don't put it off. There's nothing better in this world than being right with God. So if you need to respond to Him, His invitation, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and sing.